I'm Nina von Tilburg for Biz News. Now, here's a sport you'd normally associate with the British aristocracy, not with South Africa, a country known for rugby, cricket, and swimming. That's our turf. Still, a South African born in Cape Town has just clinched the British GC Open Championship for a staggering 13th time. And his name is Reg Bamford, perhaps better known to our Biz News audience as the founder of Sable International. And he joins us in the studio today. Hi, Reg. Nice to see you.
Hi, Linda. Very nice to see you too.
Got a bit sunburned there on the croquet pitch, I see.
Well, we had some fantastic weather down in the south of England. And unfortunately, I didn't wear any suntan lotion, so I got myself really burnt.
I've been speaking to people about the weather here. I mean, it's 34, 5 degrees with like 70% humidity. I mean, that I'm sure all of us got sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 years ago, I played in the World Championship semi-final. It was a best of five, which this tournament wasn't. And I didn't wear a cap or a hat at all because I didn't think that was too much of an issue. And it was the longest match that was ever played in the World Championship, which was 10 and a half hours, and it was in 35 degrees. And I actually lost it, I think, probably because I was so dehydrated and so sunburnt and so hot. And I actually learned my lesson.
I thought a Capetonian would know better.
I mean, I should have known better.
Well, that's such an impressive achievement. Congratulations. How does that feel?
No, it feels awesome for several reasons. So I won the bulk of my British Open titles over the last sort of 15 or 20 years. More recently, the game has become a lot more competitive. So there are a lot more youngsters playing. Of the last 16, I'd say nine of them would have been under the age of 30. Now, in the world of croquet, that is quite extraordinary because we are talking about a sport that is typically associated with people who are slightly older. That said, the current world champion is 17 years old. And I suppose why I'm so pleased about this was because I hadn't won it for over 5 years. I'm now 57 years old, but I've been playing the game for 50 years. So this was much more of a sort of mental challenge for me that, you know, do I still have it in me to go and compete at the highest levels? I put in quite a lot of effort, and I'm very pleased to say that I came out number one.
Wow, and you still represent South Africa also on the world stage. So how has that team been performing internationally?
Yeah, so look, it's not a very big sport down there. In January this year, I captained the team. We sent a team of four down to Tasmania to play in the World Team Championships. And it was the top eight countries in the world. We didn't have lofty ambitions. We didn't want to go and win the thing because we couldn't. We don't have the strongest players. But there is automatic relegation. So we were desperate not to finish in last place. But we finished sixth, which I thought was quite good. So that sort of keeps us in the top tier for the next 4 years.
So are there clubs in South Africa?
Yeah. There are probably sort of 10 croquet clubs. The most well-known would probably be Kelvin Grove. So there are three or four courts there, and they're scattered around the country now.
So croquet, why did you develop a love of that sport?
So I started playing when I was 7 years old. My parents knew some really dear friends of theirs who had a farm in the Karoo, and we used to go up there once or twice a year, and they had a beautiful homestead and a lovely front garden. They've had a bit of a tilt and a slope to it with a big green bush in the middle, but they would always set out a croquet court there, and that was my first exposure to croquet. And as it happens, I suppose these things really take place because of a set of circumstances. As it happened, the Rondebosch Croquet Club was literally 200 or 300 yards from a house in Cape Town. And having, you know, having played very social croquet on this this front lawn, I then saw the Rondebosch Croquet Club, saw all these people wearing white, and I'm a very competitive guy, and I said, "Dad, I want to go and play against those people there." So he took me along one Saturday morning. I walked in there. I must have been the youngest person that ever seen playing croquet. And I joined, I think it was in 1974, was when we joined the Rondebosch Croquet Club.
And on top of that, I see you've developed something called, what is it called? A special trainer for croquet players, with a prototype coming out soon.
Then you've obviously done your research here, hey? So this was a device that I built many, many, many years ago. So basically, the croquet swing only goes along one plane, unlike a golf swing, which is a lot more complicated. So the croquet swing is on one plane, and it's a contraption that basically controls the plane. So one's backswing and forward swing only goes on one plane, and if you can use that and train your swing, when you put under pressure or where there's some, you know, some outside factors like stress or pressure or wind or rain or temperature, where you have trained your muscles in a certain way, you're much more likely to swing straight. If you swing straight, you're going to hit the ball straight. So it's straightforward thinking like that.
So where do you plan to go with this?
Well, that's quite interesting, because I've actually set up a little company that is going to market the swing trainer. I think that the croquet clubs around the world might be interested in it, and in particular, I think the US market would be most susceptible to try this out.
So, how popular is croquet worldwide?
Look, it's still considered a minority sport. It's not in the Olympics, but I think that more and more people, funny enough, are playing it. I think in the past it's always had this kind of brand or reputation of sort of Alice in Wonderland and, you know, gin and tonics and all that sort of stuff, and a slightly quirky sport. And certainly for many, many years, I've been teased about the fact that I've played croquet, because, I mean, you know, I'm a big, tall South African guy. I mean, I really shouldn't be playing croquet. I should have played rugby or something like that. But more and more, it's becoming quite popular. It's a very fast-growing sport here in England. The version of the game is very different to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. They've changed the rules. It's much more competitive. It's much more appealing, and it's a game that I think is very much suited to people who've perhaps stopped playing tennis, stopped playing golf, because those are actually quite physical games, actually quite difficult games to play. Croquet is a very social sport. You can play it pretty much all your life. I'm 57 years old. I think I've probably got another 15 years of playing at the highest level. And there are not a lot of sports where you can say that you can play really competitive sport right up until the age of, you know, 65 or 70.
Well, is it easy to find clubs? Because we were just talking about golf. You know, it's quite a long day. You've got to find a golf course, and it's expensive.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously golf will take like 4 or 5 hours to play. You have to get to the golf course. It's actually quite expensive, because a set of golf clubs might cost you 1,500 quid. Being a member of a club is quite expensive. And also, you're only playing with three people for the 4 or 5 hours, whereas in croquet, I mean, it's so much fun to go along to one of these tournaments. You know, you're meeting a whole bunch of different people. I obviously know all the players there. A game can be quite quick. It can take about an hour or so. So there are lots of benefits. It's outside. It's mental stimulation. You get your 5,000 steps in per game. So there are lots of benefits.
So someone who wants to pick up a mallet, you know, and want to do it, what's your pitch to them? Why should they do it?
Personally, I think it's the best game on earth. It might not be the game that people want to watch on TV, but in terms of participation, you play it outside. It's very healthy for you. You get some exercise. It's mental stimulation. It's a very simple game. So it's a game that you can pick up in sort of 5 minutes. You know, the season here probably starts in April, runs all the way to September. So for, you know, 6 months of the year, there's a season here, and you can go along to some of these tournaments, and you'd be most welcome there. So, you know, for those people who are thinking of playing croquet, I'd thoroughly recommend it.
So what's next for you? More competitions?
Yeah. Next month, I'm going out to Spain to play in the Spanish Open. The following week, I go to Cairo to play the Cairo Open. That's a tournament that I have played in 5 or 6 times. I've never won it before. And I would always consider that the Everest of croquet tournaments. I'd love to go out there to win. When they see me coming, they pull out all the stops to stop me winning their tournament there. And I just find that the most stimulating challenge. I'm very friendly with all of them, but the moment I step onto their court there, they are desperate to beat me. So that's taking place next month. And then in November, I'm going over to Palm Beach to play in the World's Championships, and I hope to go and do well in that.
So you said earlier when we talked that for the Americans, it's quite a posh game there.
It's not posh in the sense of it's the sort of landed gentry that play it, but they typically have croquet clubs that are associated with golf courses and golf clubs, so they're finding a lot of new members coming in who perhaps are golfing widows or people who have stopped playing golf, and it makes a lot of sense because the golf club has got the sort of setup to go and produce beautiful lawns. You know, they've got the green keepers to make the lawns look quite nice. And there's just a sort of quite nice image about croquet and golf that, you know, seems to be quite closely linked now.
Well, good luck with all this. It sounds really interesting. Thank you, Rich Bramford, for speaking to us.
Thanks, Linda.